Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
They're your friends.
Form an opinion immediately, and you're not going to shake
very
me.
Best friends.
Aaron, how are you? How's your week been?
It's been it's only what, Wednesday, and sure. It's already been a week from hell.
Hey-o.
I'm all done.
98 of quarantine. I thought I said that like 3 weeks ago, but I heard today it was 98.
Is it 98?
I don't know. It feels a lot longer than that. 120, I would say. 120. 100, day 123 of quarantine. Thanks for joining us here at the Front Against Government Experience. We're upgraded, just so you know.
I'm taking a look at these. I don't know how. Oh, man. I think I'm overdoing. I'm trying to make sure my microphone's coming in good. I think that's a lot better right there, right?
You sound crispy clean to me.
Yep. We can hear you, so there's a problem.
So there's, it's a little bit too high.
Welcome to the Friends Against Government podcast, where we do our mic checks on air.
Yes.
Yep.
We play whistle to whistle.
Whistle to whistle. We never stop playing.
We never stop playing.
We're giving you an inside look behind the scenes.
In fact, listen to this. Watch this. Boom. Big dick. There we go. Now I'm the captain.
Yeah.
I'm the captain now. There you go. So now that the mics are in, now that we've checked our nail polish, everything. We're good. We're gussied up. Let's do a little bit of, first of all, some situation here. Carr, where are we? Like, what's the score? Because I saw you that you're, three games and two out of three, two wins, one loss. A little disappointed on my end, but.
How's that going? We came strong last weekend. And you may have noticed that I've been a little bit absent on Twitter. My phone broke.
I have. Yeah. Really? Your phone broke?
Yeah, phone broke.
Wow.
I was digging around. It was just continued exposure. I don't use phone cases. I'm pretty religious about it. And so, they don't. At some point, it just gives up the ghost.
That seems irresponsible. Why no phone case?
I just have never done it, and I won't do it.
You refuse to give your phone a burqa?
Yeah, no. I'm a free man. And my
ladies
phone
and gentlemen
well.
In the audience, is Car Camp being unreasonable here? We're going to put that one out there.
So I don't use a phone case. So my phones over the time collect a lot of scratches. And usually what goes is the screen. That should be fairly self-explanatory.
At least you're not under any illusions as to why this happens.
Absolutely not. I blame no one but myself.
You know what, though? I used to be the exact same way. And my phone that I have right now is the first phone. And I put a clear, very thin case over it.
Mm. Oh, my God. Wow. A clear case is very feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
small dick energy.
Yeah. Well, I had big dick energy until, all of a sudden one morning you wake up and you have no dick energy. So I've got to
get. Ladies and gentlemen, is not having a case on your phone big dick energy? I'm going to put that one out there to the audience. Answer all the questions in
like
the Twitter
living dangerously. That's
comment
like,
section.
That's like going in raw every day.
Yeah,
it seemed incredibly irresponsible. But
so I was just laying in bed Saturday morning or Friday morning or something like that. Getting my morning. I'll go grab my cup of coffee. I might even hop back in bed and I get my morning dick around on my phone time in before I start working or doing whatever I'm going to do. And
then it just raw dogs your pocket all day.
Yeah,
right.
So
what are you wearing? Like, so now why? Before we continue, Carr, because I'm caught on this now, before we continue on to the destination we were going to go, which is how did the phone break this time?
Yeah.
What are my question is, before we get there, what are the positions this phone is being put in to be broken so often?
Well, I mean, it can't just be
that it doesn't have a case, because if you keep it in your pocket all the time, right, your pocket won't It's not doing anything.
You know, occasionally I've been known to go out skiing with it in my, you know, my jacket pocket, or throw it in the sand when I'm playing volleyball, or, you know, drop it when I'm drunk, or, you know, I have been known to do those things. I'm not saying that necessarily happened this time, but
would you be described as a butterfingers?
I can get a little bit, loosey-goosey in the extremities.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. Fair enough. So how did it come to meet its end? How old was the phone?
So I usually get about 2 years out of
them. Jesus, that's it? 2 years of, yeah. Out of a phone? Yeah, my God.
I upgrade mine every 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years? Well, it's not leasing a car, gentlemen. I don't know. My phone is like, probably my entire life is on that thing. I have all my recipes, everything's on
there. That's the greatest part, is I just get a new, I get a restart. I don't have any pictures. I don't have, it's just gone. And now I don't have to worry about it anymore.
You live a very uncatalogued life.
And that's why you're so easily gaslighted.
That would be awesome.
I don't know. Can you ever truly know what your favorite thing is if you can't ever remember what it is?
No, I don't care.
I think your penchant for conservatism might have to do with the fact that you're not willing to encode your feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you don't ever want to lose track of them, so you keep them very tight. You know, you've always said Nicolas Cage is your favorite actor, and
Raising Arizona, the greatest movie
Raising Arizona is your favorite movie, the greatest movie of all time, is what you allege, and you allege this every time, and you of course could never budge from that opinion because it's not written down anywhere.
No,
so you wouldn't remember it if you did budge from that opinion, and then perhaps you'd forget about it, and then you'd be, this was the classic problem that Plato brought to, all right, so let's continue onward, move forward to another puzzling aspect of humanity. We're going to do a little conspiracizing today. Aaron, I'm going to ask you something. I know you didn't look for a conspiracy theory because all you do is produce the show, which as far as I understand it, Carr, and I'm not the budget guy, Carr, you are. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what Aaron is actually doing here.
Oh, yeah.
I did zero preparation whatsoever. I'm just coming in guns blazing.
And I was meaning to bring that up off air, actually, Bert. I've been reviewing the catalogs and the papers and yeah, it's not good. It's not good. We're not getting a whole lot of production out of Aaron, so we'll see. You know, that'll be a conversation between you and me, and we can leave Aaron.
Yeah, but even not a whole lot of production is still more production than you should have expected.
Mm. Now, the issue, of course, being that, you know, we had that investment car that went, for lack of a better term, into the sea.
Yes.
And we had to take out, you know, a loan, and so we did it by going public, and I mean, story is well known at this point. You know, we, you know, had DJ come in and buy half of the show. We actually gave him majority control. So Aaron's just here. So we don't really have the ability to.
We're locked. Know,
I'm just making sure the Fagcast aligns with Go Fuck Yourself Industries interests.
It was a hostile takeover, it looks like, Bird. And I don't know if there's a whole lot we can do about it at this point.
We were forced into a bad position because of the things that were lost in the loss of the things, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. And so, you know, perhaps one day we'll open up to be funded by the public, you know, maybe and oust Aaron and his regime. But until then, we're going to do what is Go Fuck Yourself approved and talk about some conspiracizing. Aaron, let me throw the word at you, conspiracy. What do you think?
Well, if you go way back in the Fagcast archives.
Right.
You know,
of course, because that Aaron was a different, fundamentally different person when he was
really was
had a sense of, you know, decency.
Yep.
But now that he's here and he's got six figures.
Plus being the archivist of the Fagcast myself, just flat out lost him in the great phone debacle of 2020.
So. Quite odd that you're the archivist of the show, considering that you never actually go and look back at any of the things you archive.
Well,
thank God.
You just archive them for everyone else, but you don't really keep any track. Well, you know,
I would like to memory hole everything that we've ever said prior to today.
I would like a lot of our listeners to have done that too, because maybe we could have gone in different directions.
But at one point I did have, I think I was the second Conspiracy Court episode ever.
Maybe. I believe you were the first.
And it was on,
who was the first?
Was it Anarchy Ball?
I feel like it was.
Yeah.
It might have been me. I thought I was the second, and then Paz maybe was the first.
Well, Anarchy Ball was in there early.
Mm. Yeah, we did. I don't know, man. That's
it might have been Aaron.
Yeah, we talked about gang stalking.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, yeah, it might have been that. Actually, no, Aaron, I think that was the second time you were on. And the first time you were on, I don't remember if it was a conspiracy court, but I think it was in the first 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, don't go back and listen to those.
Yeah, Jesus.
Don't.
There's just a different feeling. It's just not yuck. It's not.
You'll hear me saying like.
You remember the first episode we were talking about my phone? Oh, whoa. Makes me cringe. So we go back in the archives. Aaron, what are you trying to prove here? That you have some sort of relationship to the conspiracy community?
Well, if you're wondering what my take on just conspiracies are in general, I think I'm a good Can't mix of you, a bird, and Carr, taking Carr's willingness to devour any conspiracy put in front of him.
Yes.
Sure.
And Bird's, let's just say, abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
From any and all
flayiness towards
skepticism.
Conspiracy.
Cynicism.
Yeah. Nervousness, his anxiety.
A doubt that anything could be. Yeah, sweating. Tremendously sweating.
Sweating. Nervously eating.
Unlike the prince, who never sweat. Never once. Did you hear about that? We're going to arrest that guy. We're going to get British royalty. That's awesome.
Wait,
it's just
going to
be super rad. Oh, you don't know about this? The U.S. government was like, hey, man, heard you were around Epstein a lot, and you said you never sweat. Let's test that out.
Prince Andrew?
Prince Andrew. So that's good.
Oh, boy.
Damn.
That's happy. That's a good thing, right? We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Fucking yeah. Trust the plan.
You got to trust the plan. This is part of the QAnon agenda, right?
Yep.
100%. Ice Cube is in. Did you see this?
Ice Cube?
Ice Cube is in.
The mob told him he's in, so he's in.
He's in on Q. He posted a Q photograph.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, he's in on Q, which is great.
Yeah.
Because as we know, Q is going to get us somewhere.
It also needs a little bit more black representation, so that's pretty exciting to see.
That is good, because that is true, because if the Q community is, for lack of a better term, a kielbasa.
Mm.
Sipping on a White Claw here. What are you drinking there, Carr, before we really get into it? Aaron, thanks for answering the question that I asked. I really appreciate it.
You didn't even get to finish your question. I interrupted you. I made sure to.
Very good. I wouldn't remember anything.
I got a little vodka seltzer, so I've got the poor man's equivalent to White Claw.
Very sick. Very sick. Very. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, what do you have over there? Is that
I was actually drinking red wine.
Oh, red wine.
Yeah,
I haven't
really
had a red wine night in quite some time. I'd love to do that again. Those are always good.
Do you know what I had this morning? I haven't had it in 98 days. It would be a Red Bull.
Oh, wow.
That's what I had. Man, I crushed it. It was an 8-ounce Red Bull. It was the tiny one. 2 seconds, probably. I really went,
mm-hmm.
I won't eat candy again for the next year and a half.
Yeah.
Carr, I can now empathize with you on your debacle with the volleyball standings and how infuriating it was.
Okay.
Because I'm going through a fucking debacle in my non-fag life as well.
What is that debacle?
Which, by the way, his debacle's been fixed, Aaron. He's keeping score now.
I'm about to fix my debacle.
Oh shit!
Oh god!
That was some M. That was some MDE.
Why do I feel like that sentence is going to be evidence in court in 3 years for some reason?
Oh man, we may never get to the topic of this episode.
It'll be like pause reboot.
You brought up Red Bull.
Yeah,
and I'm I am a Red Bull consumer, a religious Red Bull consumer.
Why does that not surprise me?
Right. Right.
And there is a vending machine right outside of my shop at work.
Okay.
And for the last 3 weeks, it's been broken in every single way it could possibly be broken, up to and including eating my change.
Wow.
When you put in your selection, it'll reverse it or do something with it or add one and give me like a Snapple, which is... Like I want to break it.
Yeah, you'd blow it. I'd blow that bitch up. Sure.
And it's just been, I've been fighting with it for the last 3 weeks.
Okay. There's no other source of Red Bull. Is that the case?
There's literally no other source of Red Bull in like the 400,000 square feet of building I work in
Massachusetts. I just find that hard to believe. Seems like it would be a kind of our thing up here in the coast.
Red Bull is like an incidental.
Gives you wings. Yeah. Did you know that?
Sometimes you don't need wings, and sometimes you pass by the vending machine and you're like, you know what? I need wings.
Sometimes you don't need wings. You just need hubs.
Yeah.
So you got your hubs out. How what, are we rectifying?
What's y'all's quarantine situation? Look at, oh, by the way, what's your plan for fixing the problem, or however you phrased it, fixing the debacle?
I'm going to keep putting money into it and keep resetting the power.
Well, that should be good for our ultimate plan, Bird, of Aaron moving out of a house or any sort of structure and under and into a bridge.
I was going to say that at least indicates the ability. He's probably insane.
Yeah.
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 Well, I am losing it.
I thought you were going to say something good, like you were going to order maybe, I don't know, a 12-pack off of Amazon or something innovative, perhaps, like you were going to create your own.
You versus this machine at this point. And
no, you're just, You're cucking out capitalism. You are cucking right out.
No, nope, moose mindset, baby.
Not a moose. I'm not sure. Well, there we go. That was really anticlimactic. I really thought you were going to say something like you. I don't know. You figured it out.
Okay, no.
Well, good.
But I will.
And we were.
No matter how much it takes.
I was going to say. The moose mindset then would be in a situation like this where you're presented with something that you have no current solution to, that you fix it anyway because of the implication.
Yeah.
Basically.
It doesn't have to give me a Red Bull, but
right,
it's going to.
No. Yeah, right. It doesn't have to. It's not really whether or not – it's not really up to the machine at this point, right, would be the moose mindset. Yet you yourself now have to – are the – only decider of whether or not you're going to have that Red Bull.
Well, I would say that the machine, Aaron is assuming that the machine has decided that the machine ultimately does want to give Aaron the Red Bull, and Aaron is just going to help the machine make that decision.
I actually,
good assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty much down with that. So Aaron, before we were off this topic, I really am a little bit perplexed. Is there no better solution? Is there no better solution here?
There is. I could call the vendor.
No,
and have them send a technician out.
God,
Aaron, are you insane? Just order 12 packs on Amazon.
Nope.
Why are you going to call the I've called the manufacturer. So you know, I've done this
for what?
I don't. There was a. I don't know. There's a big mall in Queens. It won't take you long to figure out which one. And there's the vending machine that insists on reserving $15 from your debit account.
Oh, I hate that shit. What is that?
It's
so annoying.
Usury. It's usury because occasionally they don't give it back.
Yeah.
They don't give it back.
The FedEx printing service near my house does that. And I occasionally will need to make separate transactions, separate like printing jobs, like on two different cards or whatever, just because work in my like, LLC, whatever, like random bullshit, but I'll have to like make several different transactions for 28-cent print jobs because I don't have a fucking working printer. Because as everyone knows, when you buy a printer, you get to print 4 test pages. And at that point it has reached the end of its, you know, service life. So it's physically impossible to basically own a printer in the year of our Lord 2020. So you still have to go to the centralized printing services, which I do. And they reserve $20 for every transaction. So I'll be out $60 for like 90 cents worth of printing because I had to print one page each.
That's sickening.
Yeah.
That's really sickening.
Irritating.
How is that usury?
I don't know.
You're being real anti-Semitic right now.
I don't know how it's usury because it seems like more money than I should be spending, Aaron, and that's how I define things that are usury.
Speaking of anti-Semitism, I'm becoming more and more convinced that I'm Jewish.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Not probable because we're third cousins and don't have that. We don't have. I checked. We did a DNA.
Mm. I want to do a DNA now, and I'm just growing my growing. Apathy towards anything in life in general is leading me to not care about the government having my DNA anymore. And so I might
You're becoming the 30-year-old doomer.
Yeah. Except I'm not even a doomer. I just don't care anymore.
Are you really? You're a doomer? But doomers are young people, Carr. What? Oh, my God. There he is. Oh, man. He's in. Rollo McFlugel about to enter. I wonder if he enters triumphantly or not. But he'll be in soon. Carr, why are you so pessimistic about life?
Why am I so what?
Why are you so pessimistic about life?
No, I didn't say pessimistic. I said apathetic.
Oh, really? Oh, apathetic.
Yeah. So I'm like a cruiser instead of a doomer.
No, I feel the same way.
I'm just going to cruise until something stops me from cruising.
Well, that's fair enough.
I think civil engineers just have a hard time making sense of the world around them.
There he is.
He's
in hot. Howdy there, Rollo McFlugel. How are you? Welcome.
How you doing, guys?
So I heard you were
grilling.
I'm so sorry that we interrupted. You're about to eat, but this is fantastic that you're joining us.
Not quite about to eat. I just lit the charcoal. It can go for a while.
What are you doing? You know,
if I have to add more.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing over there? What are you cooking?
Just a chicken breast. Did a little bit of a late brine this afternoon do a little dry rub and get it on the grill.
And then you're going to bring it into your nice house. Must be nice.
Yes.
Aaron, you card.
If you close your eyes and imagine hard enough, you know, the underpass of the highway is kind of...
interior decorating.
That's right. Yeah,
get good airflow down
the
there.
The really BDE part is the fact that Aaron does continue to live where he lives, despite the fact that he now makes six figures from Go Fuck Yourself Industries.
Yeah.
Really pretty fantastic.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I just came inside from digging a ditch.
Did you? For what? Your own? What's going on?
I'm building a retaining wall.
Ooh.
In the front of my house
permits?
Because when they built, yeah, okay, Carr. when they, I have a paver pathway from my driveway to the front door.
Okay,
and it's kind of on this hill.
And
so over the years,
and you don't like that
ground
hill.
Settles.
That's the problem. You don't like the hill.
I don't like the hill. It's kind of a pain to mow there. But the bigger problem is that all the pavers are starting to like fall down the hill.
Gophers.
So
pavers.
The gophers?
Yeah.
Pavers.
Gophers. Is gophers the problem?
No. It's just ground settling.
Oh. Well, then what's...
Because guess what? The civil engineers didn't do their job.
Creating the earth that your paver is resting on. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm building a retaining wall so I can just have that whole area flat.
Keep those gophers out. Gotcha. Well, good, Rollo. I'm glad that you're retaining. And things like that. Congratulations. So
I may just stop and build and just have it be a moat.
That'd be cool.
A moat.
With the world the way it is, might be the better idea.
Now, would you make it a moat or a henge?
What is a henge?
You make a moat, is the water on the outside. You make a henge, is the water on the inside. Are you doing what's the purpose of the moat? You trying for defense? Is this for defensive purposes?
I would like to be both offensive and defensive.
Offensive and defensive.
Oscillating as rapidly as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And that'd be pretty cool to have an offensive mode.
I was going
to
say, and that would be to your credit, being the spectacular third baseman that you are, you would play both offense and defense in pretty spectacular form. So that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Hot.
3 out of 4 years. Champions, three of the last four seasons.
Oh, is that really so? So now, I love that you bring scores back up.
Yeah, I knew you were going to try to pivot into this, but I'm gonna filibuster you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, before you do that, Rollo, let me, and I not for any other reason than perhaps comparative reasons. Rollo, what would you say maybe your win to loss ratio was during that time?
Oh, like total softball career?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty up there. Like I just said, three out of the last four champions.
So you were pretty. So you would say, would you perhaps, if someone presented to you a 2-1 win and loss record?
I think we'd be north of that.
You'd be far north of something like 60.
I don't know about far north. It's funny. We're not like the total. We don't totally dominate during the regular season. Okay. We're a good team in the regular season, but man, when the playoffs come and backs against the wall and we give up that 8-run first inning.
Shirts come off. The Gophers come out.
We, yeah.
Right, right.
We come storming back.
Fantastic. That's when you switch the moat from defensive to offensive.
The offensive, and you create a hand.
Absolutely. Maybe that's what I need to bring into my game, is more Neolithic earthwork.
Yes.
Right? I was thinking you could catapult people into the moat and drown them. That would be like an offensive use of a moat.
You could certainly do it. Do you know who else drowned? Tupac Shakur.
Okay. Interesting.
Wow, there it is. No, I don't know if he drowned. I'm not sure. Well, no way.
We don't know if he will drown, if that's how he will die in the future.
Nah.
That is potentially
true. Suge Knight was a Freemason and he killed him. Because that's what Freemasons do.
Well, he badly injured him. We can say that.
Bottom of this today. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of this today. Rollo, again, thank you for joining us. Everybody go and check out the Slappy and Rollo show. Fantastic. Fantastic.
This this week we were getting into a little bit of return to roots. I think we had a couple conspiracies lined up, and you had a couple you know, routine ones, I would say, Bird, you know, some a little bit unimaginative ones. And then, you know, when we were texting before earlier today, I said, hey, I found something truly interesting, and
yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, and so I feel that when we're done covering the usual stuff, I'll swing in with a new conspiracy that we can cover.
That sounds fantastic. And I hope it'll be an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Let us begin. We're going to talk about Tupac. Rollo, question. Tupac, alive or dead?
This is actually perfect that you asked me to come on here, because I basically know nothing about rap. other than some Gil Scott Heron albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. I'm going to say he's dead.
I'm going to say he's dead. Well, there you go. There's a unbiased opinion, if I've ever heard one, I suppose. Yeah. Aaron, is he dead or alive, Tupac Shakur?
He is most certainly alive. He's in Cuba.
And you believe that?
Yeah.
And you believe that he's in Cuba?
Absolutely.
And you really believe that?
I'm not going to budge. Okay, no matter what evidence you present.
I think it's good. Fair enough. Because I don't know whether or not that's true. Car Camp, it is. We've been Car Camp, you and I spent maybe 20, 30 minutes off air. We were just listening to the old Tupac Shakur. Yeah. Great musician. Great thinker. Yeah. Interesting guy. Dead? Alive?
I have a firm opinion on it, but I lost it with my phone. So I do not know where I stand on the issue.
That's fair enough. And I'm going to say dead, but we'll see.
So I'm taking the moderate position, right?
You are. I would go so far as to say that you are taking the moderate position. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
So
an object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay at motion. So he was alive. And so the reasonable opinion is that he's still alive, unless proven otherwise.
Fair enough. Allow me to take a sip of my White Claw, and we will get into this.
Yeah.
White Claw. The flavor.
What flavor you got?
Cherry.
Cherry?
Cherry?
Yeah, black cherry.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Bro, you gotta upgrade to some grapefruits.
Or lime.
I can't. I'm on.
We're just, control.
I can't do that.
Can't eat. We've all been there.
We're just not White Claw.
Get out of here.
No, I'm on the anti.
No, White Claw.
White Claw is the official drink of anarchism. Fine.
Yes, that's true. Because there ain't no law when you're drinking the claw.
Buddy. There you go. That's it. No, is it a good beverage? Absolutely not. Is it in front of me? Yeah.
that should be a good tagline for them. That'd be good. Or that should be our podcast tagline. Absolutely. Is it on my earphones right now? Yeah.
Is it in my feed? Yeah.
Do I have to
I listen to everything else.
Am I going to have to get the notification to go away? Yeah.
Am I going to listen to it if it rolls in from another episode? Yeah.
Is it this or suicide? Yeah.
Okay, Tupac Shakur. Who was he? Who is he? Tupac Shakur. I'm not even going to read the Wikipedia for this one. The guy was a rapper. Everybody knows him. He was 25 years old when he was ambushed while he sat in a parked car on a Las Vegas strip on the 7th of September of 1996. The attack came following the Mike Tyson-Bruce Seldon fight, which Shakur had attended. He died in the hospital 6 days later on the 13th of September. Allegedly. Conspiracy theories almost immediately began to fly. Many claimed he was killed by fellow rapper Biggie Smalls, who himself would be gunned down several months later. As time went on, though, the theories strayed into Elvis territory, with claims that the rapper and actor had faked his own death, theories that still circulate today. Here are 10 reasons some people firmly believe Tupac Shakur is alive and, well, somewhere. This is 10 conspiracy theories that Tupac faked his own death by Marcus Loth from the 9th of December of 2019. Amazing that we still get these, huh? Yeah. That we still, people are still fascinated by this. I have something, maybe a little article that goes into why that is. Let's do a few of these. And then Carr, really, listeners, if you don't like Tupac, maybe, you know, you can skip this and get to Carr's thing, because I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's fantastic because Carr Campitt is such a presenter, isn't he? Incredible guy. Lockdown at the hotel. After he was admitted to hospital following the shooting, it is claimed only by his mother, very close friends, and certain designated medical staff were allowed to see Shakur. Perhaps because of this lockdown, people began to speculate there was possibly more going on behind the scenes. The rapper spent 6 days fighting for his life, during which time it was said he had to be revived several times, eventually succumbing to internal bleeding as a result of his gunshot wounds. Perhaps the most controversial statement came recently from author Michael Carlin, who claimed that the rap star was likely finished off in hospital by persons unknown. Carlin has worked closely with the Los Angeles Police Department, a reputable facility, in researching Tupac's killing. One thing he claims he is certain of is that the police and medical records regarding the rapper's death are, quote, bogus, and he uses an exclamation point on that one. That is intense. Oof. I don't know. By the way, gentlemen, take the article. Number nine. This is a weird one. I don't know. About this one. This one's, I was going to say true. This is one a lot of people seem to point to, is the person who performed his cremation disappeared.
Really?
Perhaps one of the most mysterious parts of the Tupac Shakur murder is that the person who performed his cremation has apparently since vanished from the face of the planet. Close friend of Tupac and the person who was in the car he was riding as it was ambushed, Marion Shug Knight, reportedly claimed that he paid for the rapper to have a private cremation. Not only has the person in question allegedly disappeared, but the amount that Knight paid the amount that Knight had handed over for his services is also questionable, given it was $3 million. Was this part of a missing millions, as they came to be known? And I'll tell you about Tupac's missing millions next. This is unbelievable. Tupac's missing millions. It is claimed that Tupac Shakur was worth a little over $100,000 when he died, which doesn't make him a pauper by any stretch of the imagination. When considering the immense wealth he had accumulated from his musical career, it's a drop in the ocean to the money he would have had at one time. Furthermore, he had no property in his name when he died, and his only possessions appeared to be two cars. There seemed to be concerns about the rapper's contract with his record label and exactly how much money he was paid. Well, his record company, the infamous Death Row Records, claimed it was Tupac's own lavish lifestyle that left him destitute. Others have speculated that the, quote, missing millions may have been discreetly moved elsewhere. Remember the $3 million paid for the cremation? In anticipation of a life to be lived out in secret. All right, so Tupac has only $100,000 at the end of his life. Now, Rollo, you who doesn't know anything about hip-hop, that doesn't sound right, does it? $100,000. It's Tupac Shakur we're talking about.
I mean, there's a lot of people that get real rich and get real broke.
He's going to take the logical position. Fair enough. What about this
one? I mean, look at Aaron.
What about Aaron?
Yeah. He joined Aaron the Navy Paul. To get real rich and then joined Go Fuck Yourself Industries to get real broke, and it just ended up the opposite.
Yeah.
He was
rich with men.
My lifestyle of fucking wealth and power.
Right. You gave it all up.
I didn't have the means to continue it, but I did it anyways. You know why? Moose mindset.
The moose mindset.
Love it.
He joined the Navy and was swimming in men.
Why is it now not anymore?
That
Aaron, you haven't faked your own death then? Because that's what Tupac probably did. Why?
Maybe that's what we can do for the podcast.
Fake his death?
Sure.
I'd really appreciate it. That would
or
be
do
like-
it for real. Who knows? Who cares?
Well, let's see. Perhaps Tupac faked his own death. Mm-hmm. And what's more, former Detective David Myers in 2015 claimed he'd been paid $1.5 million to help the rapper achieve a faked death. Myers made the announcement from his deathbed while in critical condition in the hospital, stating that he, quote, could not die without letting the world know, and that he was, quote, ashamed of his involvement. According to Myers, a body double was even arranged to be taken to the morgue in place of Shakur. Should be noted, however, that while this story appeared in several well-known websites, does not appear to be a definite source. Myers, if he did indeed exist, also didn't state why the rapper wished he wanted to fake his death. One thing of interest is the claim that a body double, particularly the inconsistencies on the body double, came to light in the mortuary records. Oh, no. According to the official records, there was some discrepancy regarding Tupac's height and weight, as recorded by the mortuary. His driver's license, as well as various celebrity measurement sites, list him as a 5'10" and weighing 168 pounds. A little slim fella. But the mortuary records show that he's 2 inches taller than that, at a straight 6 feet tall, and weighed in at 215 pounds, which is considerably heavier.
Yeah.
This simply have been
could have been wearing.
Oh, what do you think, Rollo?
He could have been wearing platform shoes when they brought him to the morgue.
Could have been wearing platform shoes because they stand you up when they measure you. Just stand up here.
Yeah.
It's certainly.
Remember, this was the 90s.
That's true.
This was the '90s.
It's certainly possible. It is certainly possible. It's also possible to believe, perhaps, that the it was just sloppy record keeping, right? Maybe they just, you know, maybe they just got the weight wrong. Who knows? What about the last photograph? What about the last photograph, Aaron? What about the last photograph?
The last photograph? Wasn't it of him in the car? Like,
yeah, you've seen this. Him looking in the car. Suge ahead. The last photograph. It was said to be taken minutes before his death. It shows him in the passenger seat of the car with none other than the larger-than-life Suge Knight driving. However, eagle-eyed fans and researchers quickly spotted that the date on the photograph was incorrect and appeared to have been taken on the 8th of September, the day after the shooting had been taking place. While in all likelihood the camera was just set to the wrong date in error, some believe the photo had been set up to circulate to the media following the rapper's, quote, death. Furthermore, it was also pointed out that there didn't appear to be any keys in the ignition of the car. There was an automatic start car in 1996, albeit it was not as widespread as they are now, but it may be some proof that this was a staged event.
Now, I'd like to hone in on that automatic start.
Okay.
And I'm honing in on this as a previous owner of an automatic start car.
How's that case?
In fact, my automatic start car would have probably been the same model year or close to it as this one. Although probably not the same car. I had a 95 Mercury as my first car. I owned it several years later. It was used. It was old. But my grandma had it before me, and she had an automatic start put in because she was physically too weak to turn the key, which raises serious questions about why she was on the road. But that's for, you know, outside the scope of this episode. You had to have the key in and turned with the ignition on for that automatic start to work.
Oh. Well, if you look at the picture, there's certainly no key anywhere near that ignition, which is quite clear. You can you can quite clearly see the ignition. No key to be found. No anything.
Huh. Because in the instance, and actually my experience with it was, well, in the instance that you didn't have to have the key in and turned, if you accidentally left a door unlocked, somebody could just break in or just open the door, press the button to start it, and off they go.
Oof. Well, Carr, thank you for helping confirm the theory here that he's alive and that this was set up perhaps a day later after the killing in a studio. Who knows? So, since his shooting in New York several years earlier, Shakur had become increasingly paranoid. He'd suspected Biggie Smalls and people close to him had been behind the shooting on the East Coast, and he was increasingly convinced that people wanted him dead, so much so that he'd taken to wearing a bulletproof vest everywhere he went. However, on this evening, the East Coast-West Coast war in full swing, and despite being in a very public place, he suddenly decided not to wear one. It was rumored by some that Knight had told the rapper to remove his vest because it was hot inside the arena where the Tyson-Seldon fight was being contested. There is said to be footage of this conversation, although it certainly doesn't appear to be widely available. There also appears to be confusion as to whether or not the rapper had a bulletproof vest on at all that evening, with some sources suggesting that Knight and others close to Shakur had tried to insist that he did wear one that evening, but he himself declined. Whoa. Well, what are some conspiracy theories? So let's do the obvious one, the album. Tupac was known to be a huge fan of the Italian Renaissance man Machiavelli and was particularly enthralled by his line, "To fool your enemies, fake your death." For his last album, The Don Caluminati, The 7-Day Theory, Tupac charged his onstage moniker to Machiavelli, and he had done many of his songs before, spoke about how he would fake his own death and then return to enact his vengeance on those who wronged him. When Biggie Smalls himself was gunned down only 6 months after his supposed death, conspiracy theories began to circulate that perhaps Shakur was making good on his promises. Incidentally, Smalls' death also remains unsolved. So where?
So do you think 2020 is the second coming of Tupac Shakur?
Maybe. After we get through our whale invasion of August, we'll see if we survive that. I think we could very much be in play for an October reveal that Tupac is alive and well.
And
more than just that.
Album.
Well, more than just that, he's alive and well, which means he may actually have been producing music this whole time. I don't know, maybe we'll talk about that. But first of all, before we talk about him producing music, where is he? Where would he be doing that? He's got to be in a studio, right? Well, perhaps he's alive and well and living in Cuba. This particular theory would be regarded as complete nonsense by even the most enthusiastic conspiracy theorist, particularly the claim that he was, quote, seen at a party with Rihanna recently, were it not for the fact that the rapper does have a genuine connection to the country of Cuba. His aunt, Asada Shakur, was a political activist and former Black Liberation Army member. She had fled to Cuba in 1979 following her conviction for the 1977 murder of a New Jersey state trooper and sought political asylum there. Given Shakur's political awareness, he almost certainly would have been aware of his aunt's situation and possibly her whereabouts. As Cuba is one of the few countries that the United States at the time had no access to, this is an ideal place for anyone who is looking to disappear. So, Aaron, you brought this up. What about music? What has he been doing? He was an artist, right? He had to maybe continue. Well, since his death, there had been a litany of new material released by the rapper. This has fueled speculation from some that Tupac is still alive and well and recording new material from afar. It is true that a wealth of new material has seen the light of day in the years following Shakur's death, and what's more is many of these new releases have arguably netted as much profit, if not more, than what the rapper got while he was alive. While this theory sounds plausible, the fact is that Tupac was well known for being a seriously hard worker in the studio, sometimes recording several songs in a session, sessions that could have possibly lasted for days at a time. It is not at all beyond the possibility that he released or had hundreds of unreleased tracks waiting in the wings. His estate and any of their royalties from this music are controlled by his mother, Afina, and were until her death, till early 2016. There you go. There's your 10 conspiracy theory facts about Shakur and what the strangeness is around whether or not he's alive or dead. Also, if you ever listen to some of the music on the later albums, what's really interesting is that the family totally acknowledges this conspiracy theory and makes a lot of money off of it. Like they, Death Row Records makes a lot of money off of him. They release a lot of albums, and in one of the albums that they released of his, like a newer one, at the end of it, it's like, one day I'll return. and get my vengeance. Like at the end of it, they put, obviously he's dead already, so they're just adding fuel to the fire. The idea that he is alive and he's coming back one day. So maybe there is some messianic thing to Tupac. Maybe he will come back when we need him most, which could be now.
There's one thing your article didn't mention. It's his old bodyguard. His old bodyguard, I'm pulling it up right now. Michael Nice died in 2018.
Michael 69, what'd you say?
His old bodyguard and hype man, Mike Nice.
Yeah.
Mike Nice? What? Mike Nice? Okay.
Yeah, he supposedly was at a party with Tupac in, I don't know, some vacation spot, some island. And him and Tupac discussed how Tupac could fake his own death.
Oh, they did that while he was alive. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did have that located somewhere. Maybe it's in a different article, perhaps. Who knows? Well, there's another one. Maybe he's in New Mexico. There's a film that came out by the filmmaker Rick Boss, which dramatizes how Shakur was supposedly removed from UMC in Las Vegas. He was shot four times by an unknown assailant. It's a documentary. Conspiracy theories have surrounded his death for years. You can write a fiction story, but this is not a fiction. This is the facts from certain people that I know, Boss said. Okay. Well, Boss says that his new film, which I don't know how new it is, this article was written this year. So maybe we'll go and, hey, Carr, maybe we'll have to watch the new Tupac film by filmmaker Rick Boss, which presents the theory that he was escaped from UMC Las Vegas, the medical center.
Love it.
Maybe. So the film is called Tupac, The Great Escape from UMC. Let's check it out, everybody. Who knows? So there's your Tupac stuff. I think he's dead, but I always think things like that. So I don't know.
Well, if there's one thing that I feel over the last year, particularly, I've really come to understand or think I understand, whether I do or not, is how easy, in terms of how few people you actually have to pay off, it would be to fake a death if you had money.
Sure. Yeah.
Quadrigo, Rollo. Jeff Epstein, whether or not he actually did fake his own death, all of those people that were likely bribed when he was murdered, which I think is looking more and more likely, you could have just as easily bribed them to sneak him out of there, right?
Sure.
Right.
You know, I mean, whether or not that's the actual story, all of those same people would be involved and they would just maybe possibly demand more money. I don't know, but it would be very easy if you had money.
If you had money.
Yeah. And if
money can purchase a lot of things.
Yeah. And I mean, Tupac had money. Tupac had political connections.
He only had $100,000 at the end of his life.
He had access to money.
Let's see what Rick Boss said. He said, let's just say Mr. Shakur, the family is aware of the movie and they're okay with the title. So that should tell you more or less what's going on. So the family likes the title that he was escaped. But what does that mean? Is the family involved in this? How many? I used to believe the Tupac thing. I don't anymore. I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, it's not my thing.
I'm starting to become skeptical too, because you'd figure all of the recent events that have happened in the last 5 years, like you could have picked any event for him to choose to come back.
Could have done anything. Who knows?
I'm surprised the article didn't mention the Bubba Hotep theory.
What is that?
Well, it's how Elvis faked his own death.
Oh, okay.
And so what happened was Elvis decided that he no longer kind of wanted to be in the spotlight and a superstar and everything. He just kind of wanted to quietly live out the rest of his life.
Sure.
And so what he did is he told his agent and some people close to him that he wanted to hire someone to kind of live his life for him. So he was interviewing Elvis impersonators.
Sure.
To figure out the person that was going to kind of take his place as Elvis. Sure. And after one of the interviews, he came out, he changed clothes with the Elvis impersonator. And so the Elvis impersonator, as Elvis, came out and said to the agent, "Now this guy wasn't the right one."
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, but then that's, they made the switch and no one knew except for the Elvis impersonator, who not long after died. And then, you know, Elvis kind of lives out his life, and then he winds up in a nursing home and happens to meet John F. Kennedy, who is also in the same nursing home, who is now black, because that's how they had to fake his death.
Sure.
They had, and then they together fought a soul-sucking zombie.
That's I could just imagine that in the writing.
Mummy,
in the writing room,
a mummy that sucks your soul out of your butt.
Someone at the last minute in the writing room just like being like, but also you're black.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good movie. It's a is it true?
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
I think it's a true story.
It may or may not be.
Basically a documentary. So I don't see why, you know, all the Tupac impersonators out there, one of them could actually be Tupac.
Why is this? Why do we always bring this up? Well, there appears to be some sort of a continuous reanimation of Tupac. He's like makes a lot of money. The family, they make a lot of money off the fact that he's not dead. The record producer make a lot of money off the fact that he's not dead. Everybody is propagating this idea just to rake in on this cash cow, and they won't let him die, whether or not he is. And I find it detestable. Just detestable.
Has there ever been like a really big celebrity that has come out that they faked their death?
I don't know.
No, because it's really easy to.
Well, what if they wanted to reverse it and just be like, ah, now that was fake?
Well,
yeah, they kind of finally came out and be like, actually, I'm alive.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious.
Pretty easy to check if someone is dead. That's the thing. It's hard to, I don't know. It's pretty difficult. You'd have to die.
Not for Rasputin.
How many of the...
He's actually still alive, too.
You think Rasputin is still alive? Man, I know a lot
about Rasputin. He never actually died.
I know a lot about Rasputin, Rollo. I know a lot about him.
I read a book about him in high school. It was very good.
Grigory Rasputin, the favorite calling boy of Tsar Nicholas. Everybody stay tuned for 12 hours of Russian Revolution one day. That'll be good.
It's going to be a good time.
That's going to be a good one.
Would that be before or after 12 hours of Bitcoin talk?
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know what.
Was I too hard on certain Bitcoin forks for that to be released?
That, Rollo, I listened to the third one. Listen to this. Before we get into Corey, your theory, now that Rollo brings it up.
I don't mean to put you on the spot about that either.
No, it's hilarious, and you've given me the opportunity to tell the story of my experience. So we did these ridiculously long introduction to Bitcoin episodes. I'm talking, Rollo, what? We did 5 episodes, and they were probably
5?
3 hours each, probably.
Well, in fairness, the first half of like the episodes were us talking about like British food, and
that's we did a lot of talking about faggots. That's right.
I'm going to take this opportunity to distance myself from this. It was not me. This was you guys. No.
Well, I'm the foremost expert on that. So,
damn,
Shirley. So we recorded all this amount of content, and we were blitheringly drunk throughout all of it. Really, all of it. And I wanted to release it, and I thought a few things. I thought, number one, I do not know anything about Bitcoin. I never will. I in fact, reject economics as an institution entirely. So why do I care? That's what I ended up talking to. But two, and the more important thing was, Rollo, it was, while I felt like and what's interesting is, I could probably, if you prompted me with questions, hey, how does this work? How does this happen? How does that happen? I retained a lot of information despite the fact that we were pretty drunk.
Yeah, I remember you were getting it.
I was getting it, and I still get it. But I listened to the episodes, and it was not content. It wasn't It was not a okay. So when we do episodes,
so it's one of those things where you're like in your mind, like you're at a bar and you're drunk and you're talking to you're talking to a girl hitting on her and you think that you're like just laying it,
yeah,
the smoothest like talk fat. Out, and then like yeah,
in a way, yeah. In a way, because if you and I were the guy and the girl in that situation and your job was to woo me, I was wooed. Like I bought it, I got the ideas right.
Looking but, good, Barry,
but. It was almost like the two of us, actually, it was literally like this. It would be as if you were a third person listening in on two drunken idiots flirting with one another, which is what the episode devolved into was you explaining Bitcoin to me in a way that two drunk people, listen, there are people who have certain conditions.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There are people who have certain conditions that paint the color the way they look at the world. And certain people like to hook up with other people who have the similar kind of condition that helps to paint the world in a certain kind of way. We happen to be really drunk, and we were able to speak in a language that maybe if the listeners got drunk and listened, would be able to understand it. But I listened when I was not drunk, and it was indecipherable to me, which is bizarre because I understood all the concepts that you taught me. I still don't understand the logic behind it. I really don't.
Well, speaking,
so that's why. They never got released,
speaking of indecipherable.
Yes.
I want to take you to the heart of the Soviet era.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
1959. I want you to put yourself in the position of a young 23-year-old aspiring radio engineer at Ural Polytechnic Institute.
Ah.
He's been passing classes. He's looking at a future for his home country as a radio man. He also at the same time has developed friendships with several other people at UPI, Ural Polytechnic Institute, and they all have similar passions, and these passions include some of the passions that I myself have a soft spot for, including hiking and backcountry skiing.
So okay. I'm gonna
take you to the introductory article on Wikipedia on this, just the first two paragraphs, just to set the tone, and then I can dive in. I was able to, even though, you know, Bert, I was telling you I found this tragically late in the game today, so I wasn't able to research as much as I wanted to, but I did poke around and find some really interesting stuff. So I'm going to take the listeners to the Dyatlov Pass incident. Has anyone heard of that?
No.
Yeah, no.
The what no. Of passant?
No. Aaron?
No, I haven't.
Say it again.
Dyatlov Pass incident?
Nope.
And for those unfamiliar, a pass is typically just like an over-mountain traverse. All right. I had never heard of this either, so this was
so really the Dyatlov Pass is in Russia.
Yes.
It's in the Ural Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Wait, does this have to do with Tupac?
Possibly, but nothing that I found yet.
Oh, boy.
Nope.
The Dyatlov Pass incident was an event in which nine Russian hikers died in the northern Ural Mountains between 1 and 2 February 1959 in uncertain circumstances. The experienced trekking group, who were all from the Ural Polytechnic Institute, had established a camp on the slopes of Kolat Siakol in an area now named in honor of the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov. During the night, something caused them to tear their way out of their tents and flee their campsite, all while inadequately dressed for the heavy snowfall and sub-zero temperatures. After the group's bodies were discovered, an investigation by Soviet authorities determined that six had died from hypothermia, while the other three showed signs of physical trauma. One victim had a fractured skull, two had major chest fractures, and the body of one of the group was missing both its eyes. I don't know why they say it. Both his eyes or hers.
Maybe
it was a woman.
Yeah. Jesus. one of the victims was missing a tongue. The investigation concluded that a quote unquote compelling natural force had caused the deaths. Numerous theories have been put forward to account for the unexplained deaths, including animal attacks, hypothermia, avalanche, katabatic winds, which is actually really badass. I looked it up. I had never heard of it. Infrasound induced panic, military involvement, or some combination of these.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. Really interesting. Really interesting. So my take after reading through a bunch of this stuff was basically nine hikers went out on a backcountry skiing trip, skiing and or hiking. And what looks like they all hunkered down during some bad weather. I don't think awful weather, but bad weather on this Dyatlov Pass, or now named Dyatlov Pass. They had apparently a 9-man tent. They had a tent big enough for all of them. But this tent, when they never turned up, people went searching for them. And what they found, they found things over the course of a few months. I think probably due to the time of the year, they had to space their search and rescue efforts for good weather and so on. But they found that the tent that they were all in had not actually unzipped with them exiting. It had been cut from probably the inside, with all of them leaving, and several of them leaving without very many clothes on, several of them leaving with some clothes on, and splitting up almost immediately. But according to the footprints, no one was panicked. In other words, it wasn't a dead sprint footprints. It was more or less casual walking.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of this phenomenon.
I have never heard of this before. This is it's actually pretty wild.
I've heard of this phenomenon where there's a point at which you become so cold that you start to get incredibly hot and take.
Well, yes, that's stage 3 hypothermia. And yeah, that definitely does happen, but that wouldn't necessarily explain the injuries that they sustained along the way.
No, it was a bear. Had to be.
Well,
it actually sounds a lot like a Fresno Nightcrawler attack.
Yeah, well, it certainly could be that. He would have been out of his migratory pattern, but it That's definitely.
Right. Yeah, and what do we know about the toad situation?
Stranger Things
over there.
Toad? Yeah, I haven't looked quite into the toad yet, I don't want to rule anything out at this stage.
Somebody get on that. Look up the toad.
See if what cryptids are in Russia? I don't know a whole lot about Russian cryptids.
The big conspiracy theory for this one is the Yeti.
Oh,
every Russian person is a cryptid, by the way.
That seems incredibly
fair.
Fair.
Even-handed.
Even-handed and wide, perhaps to say.
What was particularly interesting is not just the injuries, but the diversity of injuries. So I think 4 or 5 of the group, there were 9 total, 4 or 5 sustained essentially just hypothermia, basically just died of hypothermia and exposure and exhaustion.
Oh, man, brutal.
Rough way to go. Now, 3, I believe, of them sustained, and this is what it was referring to in that introductory paragraph that I read, these quote unquote, what did they say?
Twerking?
Compelling natural force.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's bizarre. What an odd thing to say. Natural force. What does that mean?
What was making it very compelling was that they had suffered from trauma, from deep like body trauma, without a whole lot of soft tissue damage on the outside. So in other words, there were 2 that had basically chest fractures, just, you know, had taken mass trauma to the chest, but there was no or very little bruising, or bruising that wouldn't correlate with that amount of damage on the outside of their body. Then of course you have the missing eyes and missing tongue, which could be just predatory animals or whatever. But it just seems odd that only one would have, you know, it seems like an odd spread.
Body is a strange one. The
It's super strange. And, you know, not that it makes me an expert on the medical side, but as someone who's, you know, I've taken classes for backcountry skiing and stuff like that, and I'm certified and also on the medical side too. You know, if you get wrecked by an avalanche, it's going to be really obvious that you got wrecked by an avalanche. Like you wouldn't sustain these internal injuries without being just massacred on the outside. So that just doesn't seem like a very plausible event to me. One of the things, like, so I don't really understand what would make them casually exit their tent. Now that could be the hypothermia part, but then again, why the spread? Why the traumatic injuries, I guess, would be.
This is what I'm going to shoot in the complete dark. Mm-hmm. This is the darkest shot I'm ever going to take. I have no idea if any of this is true or not. I'm going to go with they had to have died during some sort of a high pressure wind situation, which may be because of the elevation and the pressure differences might have, I don't know, collapsed the lungs of a few of them and like suffocated them or something. I don't know. Something to do with like wind or pressure that because
that is that is one of the theories, that katabatic wind, which I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's when basically a big dense air mass above cascades down a mountain. And I had never heard of this, right. Although maybe I've been in one before, I don't know. But they're saying that more or less, by and large, they're, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 miles an hour usually, which would be, you know, nothing, a breeze. But they can form hurricane force winds. Now, I've been out and about, or at least experienced hurricane force winds before. And I'm just not sure I'm prepared to believe that that would collapse along either. Although, elevation in harsh conditions, you know, I don't know, maybe that's possible, but that does seem
how fast do they go? You said hurricane force. What is that?
Usually 100? I think hurricane starts around 60 or 70 miles an hour.
Oh, really? So they don't go up into the hundreds, 150 miles an hour.
Well, the stronger hurricanes do. Let's see. Let me see if I can find an estimate.
Do you think 150 mile an hour, like cold wind, wouldn't freeze the air in the lungs and collapse them? Or,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I can't imagine that would be out of the question. I'll say that.
I mean, it could pick an object up and hit you in the chest with it.
Well, that would bruise.
That happened from inside.
Oh, right, right. There's internal injuries.
That's
but no.
the thing. That's the weird yeah, thing. Where it's
it has to be pressure related.
Right. It would almost have to be. Now there's obviously with the corresponding questions, there are military military involvement allegations of some sort of like infrasound like pressure wave
military. I'm conditioned to thinking the U.S. military was here too, or the Russian military.
This would have been Soviet
military. Mm-hmm. The Ural Soviets.
Yeah.
The old Ural Soviets.
Fearsome
folk.
Vasily Zaitsev was a Ural Soviet.
They were the ones who killed the Tsar, a revolutionary people, the Ural Soviets. Well, yeah, strange shit happened in that period of time. Really strange shit. Was it nuclear? Did they get blasted? What?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing. It's not uncommon for people to obviously die backcountry skiing. It's really common. It's a pretty dangerous sport.
How often do these winds kill people? Like, you do ski and you've never even heard of these winds.
Well, right. I can't imagine that they're that. I think part of the reason is because I primarily ski in Colorado. It's probably all so high elevation that the air just never gets all that dense to create a problem.
Oh, makes sense.
I don't know. That's just off the cuff. I don't know. I don't see anything. I've got the Wikipedia article up, and I don't see anything. I would imagine that there would be a subsection of like related deaths if there was commonly related deaths, but I don't off the cuff. I don't think that they're strong enough to really. I mean, unless you're standing on a ledge and you don't see you don't know when the wind's coming and it blows you off or something, something like that. But I can't imagine that they're, commonly strong enough to just kill you outright by themselves. But again, like you said, perhaps the cold and dry and previous exhaustion and everything like that, they were in a weakened state, but, it's a pretty, pretty interesting little thing that I'd never heard of.
Got to get on the case, send somebody out there, figure it out. Maybe we can do a Childeberg there.
Well, yeah, maybe we can do a little backcountry trip out there.
Weirdest thing about it to me is that they exited. Well, they didn't just like unzip the tent. They cut themselves out of the tent.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
and just kind of wandered off.
And just wandered off, split up into two groups. Some people took their clothes off, like some of their clothes off, which could have easily be explained by hypothermia. Now,
other question. Right. Do you know if they're, so it was two groups they split into. Did people take their clothing off in either group?
No. One group kept their clothes on. One group did not.
Oh, see, that's strange because if it was, I both groups, then you could go, okay, so the common factor is the hypothermia.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was trouble.
That's the thing, is like the spread in injuries across everybody, the fact that they split up, and then the weird chest injuries that don't occur with the corresponding soft tissue injuries that you would expect on the outside.
Weird. That one's weird. I could write off the eyes and the tongue as an animal. Yep. I could write off the cutting the tent as hypothermia. Yep. I could even probably write off the one group getting naked and the other not, simply being that the one group had – one of the guys had convinced the rest of them to get naked, even though they were all suffering from.
Yeah. Or they were simply on the windward side of the tent and they were the culprits.
If we were poor, if you and I were, if you and I and Aaron and Rollo were dying and Aaron and Rollo went one way and you and I went the other, you know, whatever they do, I could probably convince you to take your clothing off if we were in an insane.
We'd all have our clothing off anyway.
I mean, most likely that would indeed be the case, but
the rule for the bag.
That's right.
Oh boy, that would be a horrendous rule to add to. That's bag season three. No clothes.
Bag season three. Dyatlov's bag.
Dyatlov's bag.
And we cut our way out and wander off.
I'm pretty sure that like whatever you scrape off the side of the bag is how they make anchovy paste.
Could be.
I don't care. It's delicious either way.
It is. Yeah, it's a good thing. Well, there you go. Cor, anything else, or are we? Is that the incident?
I think that's going to cover it for now. I don't want to get too into it because I want to research more on it, and I want to see if, you know, perhaps any of our
all-stars. And so we should both come back with more theories about these things.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, I think we can probably wrap that up or put a pin in it for now.
Very strange. Well, Aaron, thanks to your boss for bailing us out that one time. Rollo, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody, please check out the McFlugel and Slappy Experience on XFM. That's it. What I think we should do, gentlemen, is we should perhaps, before we put our hands on the wheel, put the key in the ignition. And make sure to choose the date on the camera.
Make sure that it's all in line so you can effectively fake your death. And with that, everyone keep two hands on the wheel.
And go fuck yourself.